So what does it mean to bear God's image as a woman in today's society? Where we get that from is the very beginning of the Bible, the very first chapter. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Scripture says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." The fact that we are made in God's image is the most important thing about us. It is what gives us intrinsic value that nobody can take away. What's really cool about being made in God's image as a woman is that we bear God's image differently than men do. And tonight, I want to talk about what it means to bear God's image in our femininity. I define femininity as expressing the image of God through the beauty and glory of being female. Well, what does that mean? There are a lot of people in our culture that have an idea of what femininity is, and I think it's way too narrow. What I would like to do is suggest to you about a femininity spectrum, that God likes different kinds of femininity, different flavors or colors, so to speak. A lot of people in today's culture view femininity very narrowly as a girly girl who comes out of the womb asking for the pink receiving blanket and the baby headband with the big old flower on it. Little girls cannot wait until their fingernails and their toenails are big enough for mommy to put nail polish on. And they love to put on a dress and twirl around and have their daddy ooh and ah over them and say, "You are my beautiful princess." The girly girl is often a shopaholic, sometimes a flirt, often can't care less about sports. She's preoccupied by high heels and makeup. Many of them love interior design and baking, and many of them are partial to pink and purple. Is that what it means to be feminine? And if you don't express that kind of femininity, well, you're just out of luck? I don't think so. I think that is a way too narrow definition of femininity. I believe God loves a wide range of feminine beauty and glory. And in the same way that you wouldn't look at a rainbow and say, "Oh, red and orange, yeah, those are the best colors, the others, pfft." We would never say that about rainbow colors, and I don't think God says that about the different types of femininity either. God also delights to make tomboy girls, the ones who hate skirts and dresses. They only want to wear jeans or sweats, are not interested in makeup in the least. Often, they are gifted athletes. You can find them outside climbing trees and shooting hoops and throwing perfect spirals that put the rest of the neighborhood boys to shame. Some of them really love tools, especially power tools, and they would much rather take a car engine apart than go in the kitchen and bake or cook. Often they're natural leaders and people just follow them. Is that it? Is it girly girls or tomboy girls and that's it? I don't think that's the limit either. I think there are also lots of girls and women who find themselves in the middle, loving their sports and their dresses. They like to wear makeup and dabble in some of the domestic disciplines like their mothers or grandmothers or aunts. And then they go out and excel in all kinds of sports. These girls and women may find themselves in the middle of the femininity spectrum, or maybe it's not a point in the middle. I think maybe some of them just take up more bandwidth to begin with, right from the beginning. They feel at home on both sides of the femininity spectrum. I think God creates different kinds of girls like he creates different colors in the rainbow, as I said, with intentionality, He makes each of us just the way he wants us. Our individual design is handcrafted for our good and the good of our family and the good of our communities we're in. And God handcrafts us in ways that will best glorify him. Thank you, ladies. When we look at scripture, we don't see that femininity is about a woman's personality or her interests or her hobbies or, heaven forbid, what color she prefers. When God made woman in his image, he had a far more beautiful and broader image or meaning in mind. Femininity is not about personality or temperament. It's about bearing God's image as a woman in ways that complement and do not compete with how men bear his image as men. I would like to suggest four aspects of how we radiate the image of God as women. By no means are these exhaustive. I've just picked four for tonight. God designed women to be relational, beautiful, responsive, and nurturing. These four aspects of femininity have nothing to do with where you fall on the femininity spectrum. They're aspects of God's own character woven into your design simply because he graciously made you female. The first way we express the image of God through the soul of a woman is that we are relational. Where we get that from, being made in the image of God, is that God himself is relational. He is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They love each other, they celebrate each other, they enjoy connecting with each other. When God made us in his image, he made us for relationships. The first woman, remember Eve? She was created to be a companion to the man, Adam, and to be the mother of every other human being who would ever live. We are all about being relational. That means we thrive when we have multiple relationships that have many layers, and we are most fulfilled when we're connected with lots of people. Some of those are going to be very deep connections. Most of them won't be quite so deep. We are hardwired to connect. And the main way we do that is with our words. Women, and actually girls, generate three times as many words per day as boys and men. It's why we girls can talk for hours, and we don't need an activity to keep us busy like men might if they're with other guys. We love to sit and unfold every situation in glorious detail, exploring all the feelings associated with it. We long to feel heard and understood. And so when Mr. Fix-It interrupts us and says, well, let me just tell you what you need to do, we get frustrated because we don't use language to find solutions. We use language to connect relationally with other people. We women blossom in relationship. And in Proverbs 31, we see lots of illustrations of biblical femininity. We're not going to be able to cover them all tonight, but I would like to pull out some of the verses from that chapter and see what we can learn from this model of a godly woman who blesses others just as a way of life. In the Proverbs 31, the chapter Proverbs 31, we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, who is a composite of various different kinds of women. Verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Now, not everyone is going to be a wife, but every woman can aspire to be a rare kind of woman who's more precious than jewels. Don't you want to be rare? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. These verses are about being trustworthy as a woman. Let me ask you this. Who are the men in your life? Do you do them good and not harm? How are you stewarding your relationships, whether social relationships or church or work? Or even family, are you a blessing or a curse to the men in your life? This Proverbs 31 woman was a blessing. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. What a marvelous goal to be esteemed so highly by your closest relationships. If you're looking for a good epitaph for your tombstone, this is a good one. Many women have done excellently, but she surpassed them all. That is several notches higher than the one that a friend of mine threatens to put on his wife's tombstone. She never had an unexpressed thought. The second way we express the image of God through the soul of a woman is that we are beautiful. We embody beauty. Scripture tells us that woman is the glory of man. See, we know from the Bible that God is beautiful because he tells us right in his word. He reveals that he is beautiful and he makes us in his image, and that makes us beautiful. When he created woman in his beautiful image, he made her the crowning jewel on his best creation in all of humanity. He made man, he made Adam, that was the best of creation, and then he makes woman, and she's the best of everything. We all want to be seen as beautiful. Even women who cover up their femininity out of hurt or fear want to be recognized as beautiful by someone who's safe. Some of us have father wounds about this. Several years ago, I was listening to a friend talk about the father wound, and I asked God, do I have a father wound, Lord? And suddenly I realized my father, who loved me very much, and he was a wonderful dad, but my dad never told me once that I was beautiful. I was racked by fear that I would never be found beautiful because when I was 8 months old, I had polio. That's why I'm in this scooter today. I can probably walk 10 or 12 steps each day. That's all I can handle because it just hurts too much and I'm too weak. So when you've got a disability almost from birth and you limp like crazy and people stare at you, I just knew I wasn't beautiful. And then when my dad never told me that I was beautiful, that pretty much nailed it. So I realized I had this father wound. And I said, Lord, what do I do about that? Do you have anything to say to me about this father wound in my own heart? And I didn't hear anything audible, but what I sensed I heard from God is that he said, I made you. And I only know how to make beautiful things. You are beautiful because I made you. And when I heard that I was beautiful from my heavenly Father, this chunk of healing hit my heart. Receive the truth. You are beautiful because you are made in the image of a beautiful God. Wanting to be seen as beautiful by other people is part of being a woman. But our beauty also needs to be internal as well as external. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, your adornment, your outside decorations, must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The gentle and quiet spirit. Some of you are going, I am so sunk. I am busted. Ain't no way that's going to happen. I have great news for people like us. A gentle and quiet spirit is not about personality. The spirit is the part of us where Jesus dwells. That is different from our soul or our personality. A gentle spirit is sweetly submissive to the Lord, open to whatever God wants to do in our lives without pushing back or rebelling. And a quiet spirit means tranquil. It's deeply peaceful from trusting that a good and loving God is in control. A woman does not have to be introverted, insecure, or shy to possess the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And actually, a woman can have a shy, quiet personality, but be bitter and controlling, not hardly having a gentle and quiet spirit. The great news is a woman can be bold and strong-willed and full of life and laughter and all the time still having this gentle and quiet spirit that is submissive to God and respectful of others in her life. I am never going to be quiet. I'm just not. And the reality is there's right underneath the surface, there's always a laugh waiting to get out. And I laugh loud. If you come to the first service here on Sunday mornings, you'll hear me laugh loud. And that's just the way God made me. But I can still have a gentle and quiet spirit, and that's beautiful. Proverbs 31 has a few things to say about beauty. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. How are you doing at being a good steward of your body? Part of beauty is taking good care of our bodies. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. We can be like this lady because we know who we are and we know whose we are. There is a particular beauty in possessing healthy self-esteem that's rooted in trusting God with who we are and trusting Him with the future. I love this verse that says she can laugh at the days to come. She can laugh at the future. That's a really, really good verse for this post-election week. We can trust that a good and loving God is in control. We can smile at the future because we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Here's a goal for you. Instead of pouring your energies into worldly charms and the kind of outward beauty that washes away when you step in the shower, fear the Lord with a respect or the powerful respect and awe for Him. Cultivate the imperishable quality of beauty that doesn't fade because it's rooted in your gentle and quiet spirit. The third way we express the image of God through the soul of a woman is that we are responsive. One of the most wonderful promises in God's word says, "Call to me and I will answer." He says it multiple times in multiple ways. He is a God who responds to us, who hovers right where we are, longing for us to turn to Him for help, loving it when we invite Him into our everyday moments. He creates us as women to be responsive to others, as well as to Him, as He is responsive to us. Stanford University in California did a study some years ago that proved clinically that we women are better, faster, and more accurate at deciphering nonverbal cues than men are. We can look at people who aren't saying a word and get an idea of what's going on in their heart. And then we can respond to it with compassion and tenderness. That is part of the glory and beauty of being a woman. This Proverbs 31 woman is also responsive, not just to people, but to God's giftings. In this case, her business abilities. She was quite the entrepreneur. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. You too can be a wise investor in terms of where you invest. You might not have disposable income for investing money, but you do invest your time, you invest your energies, you invest the treasures of your gifts and talents. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. How are you doing at being diligent and a hard worker? She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. This lady found a need and met it. No matter what kind of work you do, you are meeting the needs of people who matter to God. So your work matters to God, just like this lady's did. The fourth way we express the image of God through the soul of a woman is that we are nurturing. I love the word nurture. It shares the same root word as nurse. One of the Old Testament names for God is El Shaddai. Usually we see that translated in the Old Testament as God Almighty, but El means strong one, Shad means breast. El Shaddai means the strong-breasted one. El Shaddai is the mother heart of God. It's from the Holy Spirit that we receive a mother's heart. The heart of a mother is not about having given birth. It's an attitude of the heart, a desire and willingness to nurture others. Even if you're not a mom, let me encourage you to embrace the nurturing part of you made in the image of God, in the image of El Shaddai. The idea of God as nurse may sound a little strange in 2016, but in the early centuries of the church, it wasn't strange at all. When people put their trust in Christ and they were baptized, as they came up out of the water, they were handed a cup with milk and honey in it. It was given to them to symbolize God's nurturing and nourishing. They were very familiar with the idea of God as nurse. One aspect of how we nurture is to feed and nourish. In verse 14 of Proverbs 31, we read, "She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar." You too can check the grocery store sales on Wednesdays and Thursdays in the paper and go shop at Aldi's and Trader Joe's, getting your food from someplace farther away than the neighborhood 7-Eleven. She rises while it is yet night. And you can also set your alarm to get up a little bit earlier and get more accomplished during the day, and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Those portions is referring basically to a to-do list for her helper girls. You may not have helpers that show up at your house at oh dark 30. I'm still waiting for mine. They never show up. But you can be organized and a good manager of your home, no matter what kind of home you live in. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. What a beautiful way to express the nurturing part of our souls. Are you compassionate? Are the poor and needy even on your radar? Another aspect of nurturing is to provide a warm, encouraging, and an inviting environment. Not necessarily just your home, but your sphere of influence. This is about honoring and blessing others out of the relational part of being feminine. Where you work, often it's the women who remember birthdays and other special occasions. My husband Ray and I are on staff with Probe Ministries, which is a Christian organization that helps people think biblically. We've been at Probe for about 40 years. Something interesting happened when we were scaling back on the number of people on staff, and when the last woman who worked in the office left to go get another job, I noticed that there were no birthday cakes, no more birthday cards, the sweet things that were just magically appearing every month to honor the person who had a birthday that month. They went away because that was being done by the women. That's one of the things that we bring to the table. I think about the hospitality team at church. They're so good at making people feel valued and important with the message, "We are so glad you came." Providing refreshments, other ways to make people feel like they matter. That's one of the ways that we nurture others. And then at home, we could look at Proverbs 31, some of the things that she did. It says, she is not afraid of snow for her household. That is not literally being phobic about snow. That just means she's not afraid when the cold weather comes because she's ready, she's prepared. For all of her household are clothed in scarlet. It doesn't literally mean that everybody only wears red. It means that she dresses them appropriately. You don't have to let your kids go out in homeless chic. She watches to see what they're wearing when they go out the door. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. If you are a mentor or a teacher or a mom, are you wise and kind in these relationships? Is the teaching of kindness on your tongue? She looks well to the ways of her household. That's about being a good manager at home, which takes intentionality. We have to be doing some planning because being a good manager doesn't happen all by itself. And she does not eat the bread of idleness. This is where I leave off preaching and go to meddling. How many minutes or hours are you wasting a day on Facebook? Talk about eating the bread of idleness. It's entirely possible to get to the end of the morning or the afternoon or even the whole day and go, what did I get done today? Like a lot of likes. That's what I got done today. And that's it. What does it mean to bear God's image as a woman in today's world? You may not be buying a field or planting a vineyard, but you can wisely steward the resources God gave you. You may not be sewing linen garments or selling sashes to merchants, but you are contributing capital in either people or goods to the society and, more importantly, God's kingdom. So what does it mean to bear God's image as a woman in today's society? Let's start with the most important question. Do you personally understand that God made you like himself and he made you for himself to enjoy a relationship with him? A lot of people don't know that because of sin, which is missing the mark of God's holiness and perfection. Sin spoils and distorts everything, and it separates us from God. And just like if you take a balloon and you blow it up and you tie it off, if you pop that balloon, what can that balloon do to make itself whole again? Absolutely nothing. And we are absolutely powerless. Once we have sinned, and everyone sins, we are powerless to make ourselves holy and perfect. But God knows what to do. God had a plan. He sent his only son, Jesus, from heaven to come to earth to live as a perfect person for about 30 years to show us what God the Father is like. And then he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, taking our sins onto himself. When he died, our sins died too, and the sin problem was taken out of the way. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and he is still alive today. He's the only founder of any world religion that is still alive today. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he forgives us, cleanses us, and comes to live inside of us forever. That is essential for getting in touch with what it means to bear his image as a woman. We also need to make sure that we know what it is to be made in God's image as a woman, accepting our femininity as God's good gift to us. Not being deceived by the culture's too narrow definition of what femininity is. We need to conform to God's definition of femininity, not to the society's standards of what it means to be female. See, society is constantly feeding us lies and false identities about what it means to be a girl or a woman. Think about preteen girls, over here, on the tomboy end of the femininity spectrum. Preteen girls, they often think boys are gross, or at the very least, they're competitors. Sometimes they think, I cannot understand the girly girls with all their emotion and drama. They often ask themselves, is there something wrong with me? Because they're not like the girls down on the other end of the femininity spectrum. Society says, oh yeah, there's something going on with you, you're a lesbian. God looks at his beautiful tomboy girls and he says, there's nothing wrong with you, beloved. I made you just the way I wanted you. You're on a different timetable than some other girls. Just grow up without hurrying to grow up too fast. Enjoy my gift of your athleticism and your natural leadership. And then we've got some girly girls who can look in the mirror and go, hey, I'm pretty. Or some of them can look in the mirror and go, at least I don't make myself throw up when I look in the mirror. And society's message is, and that's where your value comes from. pour your energies into looking good because you're not good enough just the way you are. And God says, there is nothing wrong with you. I made you just the way I wanted you. Your value comes from being handcrafted by a master artist. You are enough just the way you are. And then there are girls with no aptitude or interest in sports who can easily look at the athletes and think, there's something wrong with me. I am not okay the way I am. And society says, oh yeah, there's something wrong with you. You don't measure up. And God says, there's nothing wrong with you, beloved. I made you just the way I wanted you. You're not an athlete. I've given you all these other gifts in other areas. We need to not compare ourselves to other people. We need to just flush comparison. Comparisons are deadly. We need to look into the mirror of God's word that tells us what's true about ourselves. And then we need to surround ourselves with the loving voices of godly community that sees us for who we are and speaks the truth and love over us so we can flush the lies and the false identities from a lying culture. So what does it mean to bear God's image as a woman? It means that God designed women to be relational, beautiful, responsive, and nurturing in the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God and blessing all those around us. Father, I thank you so much for making us, each one of us in this room was made in your image. And we express your image through our feminine hearts. Thank you for making us females, Lord. Thank you that that was one of your best gifts you've ever given to us. I pray that as we have wonderful discussions at our tables tonight, that there would be a sense of just being able to celebrate your good gift of femininity, to celebrate it in each other, to just receive it and accept it with joy. And basically, I'm just going to ask, Lord, that you help each one of us to feel better about ourselves because you made us in your image just the way you wanted us. In Jesus' name, amen.